easy to just kind of go through the motions, not even in a way that's like horrible, like you horrible people, but we fall into patterns and routines. But God always has something that he's wanting to say. All the time, God is speaking, it says in Job, but we don't perceive it. We don't pick it up. And so even through this weak vessel that stands before you today, I am trusting that God is going to speak to us as we open up our hearts to hear what God would say. All right? So are you with me?
Yeah.
All right, because I'm not that interested in just standing here and beating the air. I'm not that interested in standing here and just flapping my jaw. I am believing God to do something in our hearts and lives today. And I will say that sometimes with sermon series, we get asked as preachers, as the ones who are going to share, to go to passages and to do things that we wouldn't normally go to. If we're just kind of left to our own devices, really, pastors have, like, each pastor probably has, like, two messages, really, when it comes right down to it. And no matter what happens, they'll get that message in there, right? But the challenge of saying, look, this is the passage you're going to deal with this week, is you got to wrestle with it. And that's what I had to do with Psalm 67. So I know that when I first read it, I was like, man, God, what are you going to say, you know, through this? But as I just began to kind of wrestle with it and look at it more, and then I began to see some things, and God spoke to my heart, I trust he'll do that for you. So as we continue our series, I got to hold on to my notes because, you know, I won't say that I'm ungrateful, but the fan is like blowing right through this direction. My papers are going to go flying. But as we continue our series through creation in the Psalms, I want to remind everyone that we can love God, love people, and serve joyfully as we practice creation care and recognize the glory of God in creation. Because one of the things that it's not the main part of the message today, but when we care for one another, we are caring for God's creation. Do you know that? You are a created being. You didn't just come out of nowhere. You're not just some accident or a mistake. God formed you and knitted you while you were in your mother's womb. And when we care for one another, we are caring for God's creation. We are honoring God in doing so. Scripture's pretty clear about that. Again, that's not the main point today, but I just want to highlight that. So as I've mentioned today, we're going to be looking at Psalm 67, which we read together as a responsive reading. This psalm, there's kind of indications that it was what we would call today a liturgical psalm. So it was sung in the temple. There was probably even responses going on between, like, the priests would be singing and kind of probably chanting in some way. I don't know exactly how the music was, but and then the people would be responding. So we kind of did that today just without any music. And what do you think the theme of this psalm is? As you look at Psalm 67, this is where it would be good for you to maybe have a reminder that it's actually not a bad thing to bring your Bibles with you to church, or at least have your phones open to whatever passage. Your Bible app open on your phone, looking at Psalm 67. But what do you think the theme of Psalm 67 is? What comes through pretty strongly if you look at it? That is there, and yes, that is also there. Look at a word that's repeated many times through that passage. Did you say blessing? Blessing. Now, I find it interesting, this is off the cuff here, but I find it interesting that that is not the first thing that popped out to you. It is clearly the theme of the psalm. But I think, generally speaking, we struggle with the idea of God's blessing. We think more of our responsibility, let the nations praise Him, or the activity of God in our lives relating to salvation, which is good. Those are good things. But I think we wrestle a little bit with the idea of blessing. So the psalm begins with a request for blessing. The words of the priestly blessing in Numbers 6:24 through 26 The words of that begin this psalm, sorry, I'm kind of blah, 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 but they're very similar, actually. So listen to the words in Numbers chapter 6. It says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." So it's a very famous priestly blessing, often given as a benediction in services. But here, the words are somewhat abbreviated and open up the psalm. The psalmist begins with these words, but he says, "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us." So this idea of God's blessing, what you may not consider or realize, that the idea of God's blessing is one of the most important themes in the Old Testament. Okay, the Old Testament, which we see as judgments and all kinds of stuff and get all stuck on some of the prophetic writings, but even the prophetic pronouncements are given in light of God's blessing. The gift that God gave, the law was a gift, it was a blessing from God to provide order and understanding how a people should live, and God... Then you remember when it's in Deuteronomy, I think it might even be 27 and 28, where they stand up and the one side says, if you obey the law, this is how God is going to bless you. And it goes on with the blessing. If you don't obey the law, then it's not going to be a blessing, okay? And so the prophets, all they're doing is aligning themselves with the blessing of God, or if we disobey, not being blessed by God. You understand what I'm saying? So when the people are walking and they're not walking in covenant obedience to God, then what are the consequences? It's not much of a blessing, okay? And so we see that in the scripture, but what is God calling them to? Is it just like, you're doomed, tough luck, you're out of here? No, what's he trying to do? He's trying to call them back to the covenant so that what? So that they will experience the blessing of God, because that is God's heart for people. That is God's heart. God's heart is not to judge in a destructive kind of a way. God will do so when necessary, but God's heart is for his people to experience his blessing. So there's a theologian, the guy, he basically, his name is Klaus Westermann. He's a German theologian, and he contrasts two general actions in the Old Testament of God's merciful action towards humanity, God's saving activity, and then God's blessing activity. So we tend, again, I've kind of said this already, we tend to focus on God's saving activity, and rightly so, it's good. God's forgiveness, forgiving of sin, rescuing us from oppression, saving from death and the like. But the Old Testament consistently speaks of another sphere of God's mercy, the blessing activity of God. Things like fruitful harvests, fertility, health, prosperity, etc. So these things the scriptures speak much of in the Old Testament. And Psalm 67 majors in the area in which the church actually has often minored in. The longing request for God's blessing. Again, how does the psalm start? Somebody got it open and want to say it out loud? Say it really loud, because... And what? And bless us. And what? Which is another way of saying, and may God smile upon you and your life. And what I think you need, one of the things that I hope you get today more than almost anything else, is that you would find new freedom to stand in the presence of God and say, God, and we'll see there's a point to this, but God, I ask you for your blessing in my life. I ask you for your gracious favor to be upon my life. God, I ask that you would smile upon me and my life. Now, there's a reason for all this. I do think God just wants to do it, but there's also a purpose. We'll get to that here in just a moment. But the psalm starts off, God, be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. And what I'm trying to tell you is, it is okay. Church, it is okay to ask for God's blessing. It is okay to ask for the favor of God to be upon your life. And I think we sometimes it's because of our own shame, our own sense of guilt, that we don't ask for the blessing of God upon our lives. God's blessings are gracious, surprising, and unexpected gifts. And we see this again throughout the biblical narrative. And while there are elements to God's blessing that are conditional, if you obey the covenant, then there'll be a blessing. If you don't obey the covenant, not so much, right? But there are other elements of God's blessing that are actually universal. God's just going to bless you no matter what. Okay, I'll get to that also in just a minute. So we got a couple things to look forward to. So in Psalm 67, the composer begins by asking for God's blessing in verse 1 and requests God's continued blessing in verse 7. So the psalm starts off with asking for a blessing, and then verse 7 it says, may the blessings continue. May they continue. So start and finish, this psalm is sandwiched in this sense of God's blessing. But the poet also stands in the people's midst as a prophet. And I want to touch on this for a bit. The poet stands and in a prophetic way announces God's blessing. The psalmist says, the earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, has blessed us. And this is where we're making the connection to the whole idea of creation. This is where we recognize that God has blessed us through creation. And as I stand before you today, I ask the Lord to bless you. But I also want to remind you of how much God has already done. Now, I just want to just pause for a moment because I know even this morning I've heard a couple of your testimonies and there's not a real strong feeling of God's blessing this morning. And I acknowledge that. There's things, difficult things have happened. I'm acknowledging difficult stories I've heard this morning. So there are points in life where we're like, whoa, you know, like, I don't know if I want to even hear this message because I just know what just happened over here. But I just want to make it clear that even when those things are going on in life, God wants to bless. God wants to bless. Even when difficult things are happening, God desires to bless you. God wants his favor to be upon you. That maybe even in those difficult times, through the favor and blessing of God, we grow in our relationship to God or our character. Something is going on. Or through difficult times, we're drawn closer to God. One of the things, and this is a small thing in many ways compared to a couple of the stories I heard this morning, but, you know, Sarah and I, we sunk a chunk of money into our home, and we remodeled it with the idea of selling it. So we put it on the market 6 weeks ago. You know what kind of activity we're getting? The sound of crickets chirping. All right, the house is not selling. It is for now. It may not make a lot of sense to you, and I don't have the time to go into it. But it's actually been a very difficult and challenging experience for both Sarah and I. What are we supposed to do now? We packed away all of our stuff. I literally am living out of a suitcase, and we thought the house was going to sell right away. What are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do now, God? We're living down in the basement, and it's fine. It's a first world problem in a sense. But what am I? You know, now I owe family members, a considerable amount of money that I was going to pay them when the house sold, right? You know, and so all I'm trying to say is, so for us, you may look at it and go, yeah, you got real problems, dude. Yeah, you know, nice house that you can't sell, you know, on you. Well, for us, whether you see it that way or not, for us, it's been a challenge. For us, there's been a little bit of a thing of like, God, this doesn't feel like a blessing. this isn't quite what I thought was going to happen here. I was looking forward to selling the house and paying some people back, and I wanted to buy glass doors for the front of the church. I mean, I got all this stuff, right? I'm starting now, I'm getting my laundry list out, you know? Come on, God. But this is what I want, this is my point. In the midst of it, God has kind of challenged me, and I have had to just look to God and say, God, I trust you. And I trust that in some way, shape, or form, you are blessing us in this moment, in this season. And both Sarah and I could give testimony of how God has drawn us to himself. And how the trust factor has deepened considerably, even in the midst of, again, for us, has been a challenging experience. And so even when things aren't looking like they're a blessing, there's blessings. That's really what I'm trying to say. There's blessings. And so we need to trust God in those times. And so and the thing that I and like the psalmist who announced the blessing of God, I want to remind you that God has already blessed you. I've heard many people say to me over the years, what has God ever done for me? What has God ever done for me? Oh, I hear it. I heard it just the other day, actually. What has God ever done for me? Implying that God hasn't done anything and everything we have in this life is the result of our own hard work. Well, I got some news for you. You woke up this morning because God willed it to be so. So if you are sitting here breathing right now, if you are taking a breath in this moment, God has blessed you. And I mean that seriously. I used to kind of wonder, like, for 10 years I was part of a primarily African-American church, and I remember this one guy, he'd just always say, I'm just so thankful that God woke me up this morning. You know, and I'm like, dude, man, we all woke up this morning. What's so special about that? You know, like, I wrote him off. You know, like, it just, but he just, every time, I'm so thankful that God woke me up this morning. That's God's blessing. And not just when it's you, Carol. I know you can get a little older, yet that blessing increases, right? You thank God a little louder every day, right? But, you know, who sustained you through the night? When you were sleeping, were you thinking about breathing? No. When you were sleeping, did you say to yourself, I'm going to wake up now? No. I'm serious. That if nothing else, every breath that you breathe, every beating of your heart is a blessing. It's a gift from God. Now, there's many other things. I just had to go down to the core, because sometimes life is tough, right? And we don't have this perspective of God's blessing, but God has blessed you. I mean, let me just remind you that you would not even be a living soul if God had not created the universe and created you. And if God had not created this universe in which you live and move and have your being, we would not be here. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? You picking up what I'm throwing down? All right, because this is stuff we need to remind ourselves of this. That you think of creation, to get it tied into creation, the created order, do you realize how complex and how perfect this earth has to be in order for there to be life as we know it upon it? It is absolutely, if you know, my boys kind of get into this sometimes and start talking about stuff like this. I mean, the reality of what it took for life as we know it to be here is so amazingly complex and phenomenal and unbelievable that I just stand in awe. And if I ever start doubting that there is a God, it's just all I have to do is look at creation. And we could fuss over some of the details of who God is, but to doubt that there is a creator, a God in heaven who created all this, God has blessed us. God has blessed us. How many of you ate breakfast this morning? Probably not all of you, but okay? And if you didn't, you scarfed on the donuts or whatever's going on back in the back there. Now, I don't know if that's actually a sign of God's blessing or not, but I know it isn't for me, but anyway, I didn't eat any of them, but where did that food come from? Where did the food come from? You can say it came from Safeway or Fred Meyer or from somewhere. Okay, yeah, thank God for the truckers. Who gave them the ability to drive those trucks? Who gave them the creative ability to make those trucks? Who gave us the creative ability to make a frying pan so you can fry it? Yeah, come on. Well, you're in church, you know the right answer. But I'm just trying to say, we need to contemplate these things this morning. And we need to live in a place of blessing. If you are here today and you've put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ, you are a child of the living God. Now, let me just back up. Even if you're not, God has blessed you. God has blessed every single person on this planet that is alive. God has. Provides rain, provides so many different things in the created order. I mean, again, I talked about this already, the waking up, but you realize that even waking up and going to bed, going to sleep, the gift that sleep is, it's all part of God's created order. There was evening, and then there was morning, the first day. You go to sleep, most of us do, and some don't, but, you know, in the evening, and then you wake up in the morning, and it's just all part of this order that God has created for us. God has richly blessed us, and we rely not just on God's saving grace, but on God's blessing. I am completely in need of the favor of God on my life. Aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah, amen. Lena likes blessings. Yeah, I know that about you. But that's one of the qualities about you that I appreciate, is that you tend to focus and express God's blessing activity. You know, and there's other things. I mean, I think if we were really talking, you could say, yeah, this hasn't gone so well, or this isn't really all that, but God has blessed me. And that's a beautiful, amen. That's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. In Psalm 67, the composer has the fruits of harvest specifically in mind when considering the outward sign of God's blessing. He says, the earth has yielded its increase. And the bounty of nature, that's a good place to start. I mean, when we consider how God has blessed us, the image of trees bearing fruit. I mean, I go into my backyard right now, and I have a plum tree that is just laden with plums. It's just a sign of God's blessing. When I go out and see it, I just rejoice. I have an apple tree that has so many apples on it that it broke one of the branches. Just heavy with apples. And I look at it and I say, thank you, God. Now, a lot of us aren't that connected, but we still in our minds are connected to the earth or to agriculture. We're not that directly connected to our food sources. But, I mean, that's why I love having chickens and stuff. There's this sense of God's blessing and God's favor when I go harvest the fruit tree, or when I go get the walnuts off the walnut tree, when I go cut an asparagus, you know, or when I go out and get tomatoes off the tomato plant. There's this sense of experiencing the blessing of God. But if you're not, you know, even if that's kind of not your thing, there are other blessings to consider. There really are. And I've probably been on this subject long enough now. But, it goes to that old hymn, count your blessings, name them one by one, something along those lines. I think the key is to posture yourself to recognize and to receive God's blessing. Did you hear what I just said? I think it's important to posture yourself. It's so easy. I see people, even Christians, consumed with bitterness, consumed with the negative that's going on in life. I'm not saying you I'm not saying you pretend the negative's not there, because that's unhealthy. Okay, we need to acknowledge the difficult things in life. We need to acknowledge the problems of life. But don't stop there. Don't remain in that place. Turn like the psalmist and say, God, bless me. God, may your face shine upon me. May you turn towards me, God. Be gracious to me. Now, there's a reason for all this. There's a reason why we're to ask for an abundance from God. There's a reason why we should be seeking God's blessings in our lives. And this gets back to what Mark said earlier. Because I know that God wants to bless you. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would still wonder for many of you. That you really, with all your heart, could open up and say, yes, Lord. I'm not just going to I am asking you to bless me. And not only me, but those around me. And that gets to my point. Because Psalm 67 teaches us about God's blessing activity, but it also tells us one of the reasons why. It's so that those around us will also be blessed. It's for the sake of God's mission on the earth that God wants to bless his people. You see, God's blessing is actually the foundation of mission. If we're going to go into all the world and preach the gospel, we need the means to do so, don't we? We need to have a sense of a message to share with them that is encouraging and will draw them. They'll see something in our lives that will draw them to God. In Psalm 67, in verse 2, it says, after asking for God to bless them and to make his face to shine upon them, why that your way, God, may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. For me, coming home last night at 2 o'clock in the morning from Spokane, Washington, I didn't get home till later than that, but for me to come home and to see a guy outside of the store who obviously was in a place of need, and he asked me for some money, and I said, I don't give money, but what do you need? What are you looking for? And he asked me for some food. I need God's blessing. And have an attitude of abundance. I could think to myself, I don't quite have enough money really to do that. Or I can say, I'm blessed of God. And I know that if I bless this man, God is going to bless me, right? So I can go in and buy this guy a burger and have a little bit of a conversation that was obviously encouraging to him. Why is that? It's because I believe in the blessing of God. I believe that it's not a big deal for me. It was only $5, but you know, it's not a big deal for me to lay out $5 because I know that God is, that's all a part of the abundant blessing. And God wants to bless me so that I can bless people all around me all the time. I always want to stand and live my life with my hands open. Both to do what? To let go of stuff and to receive stuff. Not just stuff, but you know what I'm saying. I'm poured on, Lord. Hallelujah. Sell this house, God. Poured on. I'm here. I'll receive whatever you have for me. I will receive it. I'm not going to mealy mouth around and I'm not good enough and blah, blah, blah. I know that. So do you. Who cares? I want the blessing of God so that with those hands still open, I can let that blessing go to other people. Not just financial, by the way, or stuff, but just an open spirit, an open heart, A heart that is just receiving and living in relationship with God. Amen, church? Come on now. So there is a sense of blessing and mission that comes. Because, again, as Mark said earlier, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. We want to see people praising God. We need the blessing and favor of God so that we can share that with others. When you think of mission and purpose, for some of you, I won't ask it right because I wasn't prepared to do so, but who comes to mind when you think of being blessed and blessing the nations? Who comes to your mind? Anybody? Early. Genesis 12 stuff. Abraham. And what did God say to Abraham? I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to give you an abundance, and I'm going to bless you, and those who bless you will be blessed, those who curse you will be cursed, and all the nations on earth will be blessed through you. Hello? Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. God, this is the thing. You guys are probably like, oh, come on, you've been saying the same thing for 20 minutes. Or more. It's because it is obvious to me that God wants to clearly express to you that you do not need to live in a mentality of scarcity. I'm not standing here and I'm not going to end my message by saying, so just give me $50 and God's going to bless you. That's not my point of my message at all. Those who've been here know I don't ever do that. And I'm not here to tell you that you're going to walk out of this church and, you know, God's going to personally drive himself up in a Maserati and say, God bless you, child. But there is a disposition that we have. An openness to receive all that God has for us so that we can then bless the nations. So when we pray, as I'm moving to conclude here, when we pray the prayer of Psalm 67, that God continues to bless us, that's in the last verse, or when we end the worship service with the expression, that the Lord's face shine upon you, we do so for the sake of mission. See, this has always been the problem with God's people. Over the centuries and ages, they look to God. They align themselves with God's covenant. God begins to bless them. They become prosperous. They become cities on a hill or whatever. And then what do they start to do? They close their hands and start to hold on and start living more for the blessing than for the person who's doing the blessing. Are you with me? And when we start to do that, then we're in trouble. God blesses you and God wants to bless you just to bless you. I will say that first. God just wants to bless you. He does. He just wants to bless you because he loves you. He just wants to bless you. But he also wants to remind you that the blessing isn't just for you. It's for the sake of those around you. It's for the sake of others who need to hear the good news, who need to see the good news expressed in your life. So I want to encourage you today to cry out for the blessing of God unapologetically. Did you hear that? Ask for God's blessing on your life without apology. It's a gift, just like salvation. It's a gift. You can't earn it. And you can ask for God's blessing. Now, you can hinder the blessing or you can facilitate the blessing. Do we get that? We can do things that kind of hinder the blessing of God, and we can do things that facilitate the blessing of God. But my encouragement at just ground zero this morning is that you begin to ask God to bless you without apology. Ask God to turn His face toward you without apology. We all know that we're schmucks, right? That's clear to us all. I get it. But when God looks on you, He sees a daughter, He sees a son who He longs to bless. Do I see the faults of my kids? Yes, I do. Do they see my faults? Yes, they do. Do I bless my kids? I certainly hope so. I do so without constraint. One of my kids, can you just pause? The heart of the Father, the heart of God, is to bless.
Hallelujah.
So I'll just close with three things, really quick. Again, let us cry out without apology for God's abounding grace and blessing in our lives. Then may we recognize the blessing of God as it is expressed through creation and a multitude of other ways. And finally, may we take the gracious blessing of God and utilize them as we seek to love God, love people, and serve joyfully in the world today. Do you track with that? Ask for the blessing without apology. Recognize the blessings that are already all around you in creation and many other ways. Take the blessing and be a blessing to those around you. Father, I get passionate about stuff, and it's like I want to bring it home, but I can't really do that. Only You can. So I'm asking You, God, that this would be something that would stay with us, and that we would find a new freedom to pray the prayer of Psalm 67. That God, You would bless us and be gracious to us and turn Your face toward us. That we would recognize Your blessings in our life, even through the difficult times. And that God, that then we, both as a church, but then as individuals, could be a blessing to many others. And that's my prayer today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here today and you recognize your need for the favor of God, either in some area of your life or just a general sense, maybe you have not really postured yourself to receive God's blessing. I don't know if there's going to be anybody here to pray with you or not. It doesn't make any difference. But I just encourage you to come down to the front. You can do it where you're at. But sometimes movement is good. It's good to say, God, you know, I'm really looking for this or whatever. And so I just encourage you, as we're worshiping here, as we conclude the service time, to seek God's blessing. Come on, amen?
Amen.
Take these moments to practice what we just listened to, endured maybe, but just to practice it. You got the moment right now to just practice crying out to God to bless you, that you can be a blessing to others, or to help you recognize the blessings, whatever it is. Let's worship.